Hi, my name's Henderson Mann, and I ain't doing that stupid intro for the third time. And this is Kush.
Hello.
So, yeah, we're having a few minor issues this morning. Number one, I'm not awake. Number two, my internets don't seem to be awake either. And three, we're recording on Thursday.
Yeah. And Rob is high on sleeping pills.
And a teen mom, apparently.
Yeah, he's pregnant.
But that won't make any sense, because nobody's heard the first part of this show that we've tried to record twice now. Anyway, I'm not going to be around this weekend, so Kush thought it was a good idea to record on Thursday morning. I agreed with him until we started recording and everything just went foobard.
Yeah.
And now I've ruined the flow of the show. Kush is like, yeah, whatever. I don't want to be here now.
I don't even know what's going on anymore. Where are we? What are we recording?
Distributed failure. I mean, pixelated radio.
Sure, it sure seems like distributed failure.
So, anyway, gentlemen.
And ladies. Gentleman. Don't forget the ladies.
And ladies.
Lentilmen.
Lentilmen. Are they Jewish?
I don't know.
Okay. There may be some Jewish men there.
Then they must be eating rye bread.
Is that a Jewish thing?
I don't know, I think. I'm not Jewish, I don't know.
Yeah, apparently we've established that.
I used to work for a Jewish man.
Did you clean his shoes or something?
No.
Okay.
Is that something Jews do?
I don't know. You just said you worked for him. I didn't know if you were his butler or his shoe shine boy or...
We're being very horrible to the Jewish community.
I don't think that's being horrible. We're not making fun of Jewish people. We're just saying that you shine their shoes. I don't know. Yeah, I'm actually making fun of you.
We're spotting off a bunch of ignorance. We're like, I think Jews like shining shoes and rye bread. I don't know. Probably, though. I know they're cheap.
All I've got in my mind now is little Mark with his little rag shining at his shoe and getting that quarter and going looking up at the sun with it like, ting.
They would only give me a nickel. Don't you know that
nickel.
Jews are cheap?
Now, see, we weren't making fun of Jews, and then what you had to go and do that.
Well, that's not even making fun of them. That's just true, which makes it so much worse.
Or we could just take out Jew and put Canadians in here, and the whole conversation would be just the same.
Or we could just take out all of that and say me, and
say
it all
you.
Makes sense, yes, because
okay.
I'm very cheap.
Yes, and speaking of cheap, man, there's a hell of an Xbox Live sale going on right now, isn't there?
Yeah, and it's better than anything on PlayStation or PlayStation Plus, and this is open to everyone.
The sad thing is most of that shit I already own.
Not me.
But I did pick up Unbound Saga for $2. I mean,
that was ridiculous.
Even if you don't like that game, it's not a bad game for $2.
Yeah. That's the one thing that always annoys me about cheap-ass gamer, is that people are like, if this was for free, I wouldn't want it. Like the people who all stole the Ghostbusters game through the Thailand account hack thing, whatever. They're all complaining, oh, for free, it's not even worth it. That's so stupid.
All that Ghostbusters game was bad.
I know.
Thanks for the heads up on that.
I'm glad you didn't get that.
I probably would have bought that sight unseen had you not have said anything, because I was looking forward to it, and then you said, oh, I've heard bad things. I'm like, really? And then I played the demo, I'm like, whew. I mean, that, I don't know, it was bad.
Very bad.
Some of the enemies in that game were just like, it was like, I don't know, they were different colored, so you had to keep switching weapons.
Switching?
Had to keep switching weapons to kill them, and some of the enemies, like, they would, like, hold their arms out and spin around in a circle, like you do when you're a child, and it's like, oh, that's supposed to be a ghost, but it just looks stupid. I don't know, man. Game was terrible. Ugh. Hmm. So.
It's a very good sale, though.
Very good sale.
And I'm very excited for X-Men. X-Men Arcade will be $2.50 on April 1st.
Oh, nice. Too bad I already bought that as well.
I didn't, because I knew it would eventually go on sale.
And that's a damn good sale. There was another game that's going for 75% off, too. I can't remember what it was.
I know of some that were 66% off, which was Darwinia Plus and Gyromancer.
No, there's a specific game that comes out it's on sale April 1st along with...
I know Comic Jumper, that might be it.
No?
Well, there are like only three or four games.
There was like three games, yeah. There was like three games that are going on sale tomorrow, but I can't...
I'm not quite sure. I don't remember.
I think it's a game I didn't own. That's why it caught my attention.
Yeah, he's like, oh my god, a game I don't own.
Deadliest Warrior.
Oh yeah, that was already on sale, but it was like an unadvertised... Nobody mentioned it anywhere sale. That game
sucks.
Be
200. Is it bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I would buy it while it's on sale because it's on sale. How often do they go on sale?
And it's only going to be 200 points too. so.
No, that's not that bad.
But I know Laura picked up the Undead Nightmare pack for Red Dead Redemption.
Was that the 1,000-point one, the whole thing?
I had given her a whole bunch of points, and she had enough points to get it. But she really got into poker and decided that she wanted to be cool and have a new outfit to look goofy while she played poker. Mm-hmm. So she bought the outfit for Assassin's Creed where she's there dressed as the, Harlequin. And then, like, a couple days later, they released the Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare Bundle Pack for 1,000 points. I'm like, you gotta get it! She goes, I don't have enough points now! I bought that stupid outfit! So, but me and her played some actual Red Dead Redemption the other night.
That's good. I enjoyed the co-op in that.
Yeah, but she's not very good yet. She hasn't played any of the story missions, so when I'm the good one on the team, it's bad. It's really bad. But hopefully she goes through and starts playing that some more. Although, I really liked the Undead Nightmare pack when I started playing it, but as I got more into it, that game's really not built for that. You're too slow for those zombies.
Kind of, yeah. I don't know. I wasn't the biggest fan of Undead Nightmare, the whole thing.
Well, I mean, I liked the story they were telling in Undead Nightmare.
I liked the end. I liked how they worked it in.
So, I am...
Well, I'm going to spoil it right now for you.
No, I'm not. I will finish it eventually, probably, but... I also get sidetracked by all the, this town's in trouble, okay, I'm going to go save it. But yeah, I had a good time playing that with her the other night, and then her cousin got on, we got too loud, and woke up her mom, so we all got in trouble, got yelled at.
Uh-oh. Spaghetti-o.
But this week I've got my friends coming down for EvilCon, so that's why we're recording on Thursday. And then the next show, I may be going to a wedding. I'm not 100% sure. I've got to go to her cousin's wedding, which is also funny because he's getting married the same day as Carrie.
Awesome.
So,
we should congratulate Carrie.
Yeah, she was going to be on the show this week. Unfortunately, we recorded on Thursday, so she couldn't make it. Her and the evil little troll are getting married on April 15th, I think it is. I don't know. Yeah, 16th, yeah.
Someday.
She's getting married someday. That's a good start.
Yeah.
So the next time you probably hear her when she's on the show, she will be a married woman. So.
Married to a troll.
To a little troll, yeah.
A dwarf.
A dwarf and troll.
A dwarf from Homefront.
Does he use ladders?
He could. So, that would be his only good thing.
I see you played some Homefront.
Yeah, I beat the game.
Yeah, I haven't done that. I mean, so what'd you do with the rest of the 23 hours in the day?
I don't know. I was happy to be over with the game.
You were not a fan.
I seemed to hate it more than most. All the people were just saying, I don't agree with this review. I don't agree with this. I hate that game so much. I don't understand how anyone could really... I can maybe see how some people could say, oh, it's okay, but people are like... really, like, love the game. I think a lot of people love the
multiplayer.
No, but I'm talking about single player. I hear people talking about the single player.
Really? I haven't heard anybody...
Like, I swear, unless my memory is wrong, but, like, Jeff Cannata from Weekend Confirmed and the Total Rad Show...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm pretty sure he really talked highly of the game, specifically the single player.
I don't think he necessarily talked highly about the game, but he tried to defend it more against the people that hated it. Which I guess maybe isn't. It's not exactly the same thing because I don't think he was like.
I know. I think he had just talked highly of it.
Yeah.
And he's somebody who I usually would expect some decent opinions from, even though he can go a little crazy at times.
Right.
Like his hate for Just Cause 2.
Yeah, that's uncalled for.
But I don't understand. I hate this game. I hate it so much. It is the worst game I played all year. I'd rather play a game like Rogue Warrior, because at least I can find enjoyment out of that. It might be a horrible game, but there's like just this ridiculous redeeming factor of it. Homefront is just terrible. Everything about it is terrible. I mean, it plays all right, but I just can't stand it. And I know like some of my things are very weird and wouldn't bother a lot of people, like my belief that the children are more anatomically?
Wait.
Yes, like a dwarf than a child. They have very large heads, and their animations do not seem childlike at all. And the whole lack of interaction really took me out of it. I know it's stupid to want to push a kid on a swing, but I see the kid swinging there, and it's like, oh. I can talk to these people and they don't really give me anything useful, so why can't I push this kid?
Yeah, it's like they rushed that game out, like they had a whole bunch of ideas and they just didn't have time to implement them because they needed to get that game out.
When I started like probably halfway through or even less, while I was playing the game, I thought to myself, this could have been amazing if Starbreeze made it. Because I personally love the darkness. Mm-hmm. And I love Chronicles of Riddick, so. And I think they really could have done something really amazing with the game.
That's very true. My biggest pet peeve when I started playing the game, this is the same thing everybody talks about, is they'll point you into a direction. Crawl through this hole. You'll go over there and you can't crawl through the hole.
I pointed that out.
And I'm like,
You can't crawl through a hole until your stupid AI teammates hole.
Right.
Go through.
Because if you get in their way, they just stop there and they won't go any further until you move out of their way and then they'll get in the hole and then you can go through.
It's like, here's a door. But you can't go through it until these other idiots go through it.
But, I mean, what makes it worse is the fact that they point the door out. Let's go through there. And then it's like, you start to go through there, and it's like, but ladies first, you know.
It's like, oh, here, you're at a dead end, and there's a ladder. I guess there's only one way to go, but hey, wait, you guys have to catch up and go first.
I guess they...
And there are horrible invisible walls.
Yeah.
Like, specifically, like, when you go in the backyard, and there's, like, a pool... And the pool is hidden behind an invisible wall for whatever reason. Even though right after the pool is a giant, you know, like 6 foot tall fence.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point?
Or in that one town you go to, there's a rock wall, kind of a small rock wall that you could easily jump over surrounding a bunch of people. And I'm like, I'm going to go talk to them. And it's like, oh, I can't get over there.
Man.
And the worst thing ever is the speed that you walk when you're in any kind of town situation.
I'm like, I want to get the hell out of here. Let me sprint.
Yeah, they don't even let you sprint.
I don't want to walk.
And I think they even slow your normal walk down to almost nothing.
I think they do. Even though your regular walk is slow, too.
And it's like, you walk over there to talk to somebody, and then you've got to walk all the way back to your teammates, and it's like, come on. So, yeah, that game has a lot of problems. It had a lot of potential. But I think I'm just more disappointed because I really wanted a good single-player story, because we heard so much good things about the story. Anyway, so yeah, that's Homefront.
Yeah. Best game of the year.
Best game of the year.
I will say one thing. I don't think the visuals are as bad as some people have said. I don't think this is like, oh my god, it's Xbox PS2 graphics.
No, but it does have a very grainy, gritty...
It looks like Frontlines.
Yeah.
They just haven't updated it. So it's like a 2007-year-old
Xbox 2007-year-olds? Oh god.
Yeah, it's what it... You know what I mean. I hate you all. I hate that game.
I'm sorry, man.
It was horrible, but it was a perfect Redbox rental.
Yeah, because it was over.
Such a short game.
Yeah. But yeah. You didn't get to try any of the single or multiplayer because you...
No, because I had to get it back.
Well, I finished something this week, finally. I finished Dragon Age 2.
And how was that? I've heard some people say that the first act is fantastic and then it just sort of goes downhill from there.
The game is not as good as the first game. It's not as good as Origin. They really tried to Mass Effectify everything, but the story, I thought, at the end got really great because shit started going down, you know, and it was like, but it was almost like everything started going down. Like, it was like, suddenly it's like, oh, all this stuff started to meld together and like a lot of the decisions that you made and stuff that you done all came to fruition. And then it was like, boom, over. And you're kind of like, what? Wait, what? And at the end of it, I don't know, the ending was not as satisfying as I'd hoped. But they are setting up Dragon Age 3.
What does Dragon Age 3 look to be? Same character or completely different story?
I think it's going to be a team up between your character from 1 and your character from 2.
That could be interesting. In which case, I haven't even played 2 yet, but I already know I want to play as my first character.
What do you want to play as your first character? Oh, you want to play as your original character.
Yeah. I don't want to play as this Hawk guy.
Hawk's an interesting character. I like Hawk.
I'm sure he's okay, but I feel like he's got more
she
of a...
She is okay.
He or she, I feel like there's already somewhat of a story in place with that character, while I feel like the first game, you know, it's really my character, mm-hmm. and not... It's not like I have some background or anything.
Yeah. I remember in Dragon Age 1, I was playing the elf, the city elf rogue, and I remember the main... part of that storyline when you started the game out was that your husband was kidnapped, or your soon-to-be husband, and so I went through that entire game because he had given me an engagement ring, and I wore that engagement ring the entire game. Never took that ring off for the entire game. Never put another ring on there. I thought that was kind of symbolic or something, even though my character turned out to be a lesbian. But anyway...
Of course she did. You're like, I don't want to see penis, I want to see boobies.
Yeah, but Dragon Age 2, I really liked it, but it just seemed like it was really missing something, and the reuse of the dungeons just annoyed the shit out of me.
Dragon Age 3 coming out this fall. Even a shorter cycle.
They won't even have time to put dungeons in it.
And then Dragon Age 4 will come out on Christmas Day.
But, I mean, it's Dragon Age 2 is definitely a good game, but I just feel like it was missing something, but the ending was really good, except, I mean, the stuff that led up to the actual ending was good, and then the ending was kind of like, left me hanging. But a lot of the Dragon Age 2 was like watching a good movie, you know, with a sequel to a good movie, when it's like, this character's not here because of something, and then all of a sudden they'll make a cameo. That's kind of how Dragon Age 2 is. You'll see a couple characters, you're like, what's he doing here? What's she doing here? And then you're hoping that all gets explained in Dragon Age 3.
Well, there's one big question, and it's the most important question. Who'd you romance?
Anders.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you're a woman.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter, because if you're...
I know, he's...
Yeah, he goes both ways,
apparently. I've heard he's a very, very persistent homosexual. He will just keep on coming in more ways than one.
I don't know. He really liked my character, so... Yeah, some shit went down. That's all I'm going to say. You definitely I'll have to play through that game if you haven't finished it yet. And I really want to know how other people's game ended, because mine ended kind of fucked up. There were decisions that I made that I would not have made if I knew the outcome.
Hmm. I really just wish this was more of a continuation of your story and character from the first game.
I agree.
That's what's always turned me off about the entire game. It's just because... For me, and the way I played the first game and the way it ended, I don't know if the whole Morgan's whatever, that DLC sort of cleared up some of that ending, but I really wanted to continue and see what happens.
That, man, I don't know if I should spoil this. I mean, it's not really a spoiler. It's more of an omission. They never bring up Morgan's name but once.
See, that's what annoys me. Like, and I know, like, there are a lot of people who hated on Morgan, you know, partially because of her costume design and all that kind of stuff, but... I thought she was a fantastic character.
Right, and I don't want to spoil the ending for, you know, Dragon Age 1, because I know some people that haven't finished it yet that are working on it, like my girlfriend, for instance, but I really wanted some kind of closure to all that and to Witch Hunt and all that, and didn't get any of that.
Yeah, that sucks. That's what I hope is in Dragon Age 3, or I don't even really care anymore. Because at least with Mass Effect, there's been this continued story. I don't want a new story every time. Or, you know, I don't want one large story from a whole bunch of different angles.
Right.
That's kind of cool, but it's not what I want.
So, but, yeah, that's Dragon Age 2. I finished it, and, I don't think I would ever go back and play it again. I will play DLC when it comes out, and I'm hoping that the DLC continues the story somehow, I guess. I don't know. I just really don't know how they're gonna do DLC, because it doesn't feel like... I'm worried that the way they set up after you finish the game is I worry that they're gonna set up where it doesn't take place after the game, it takes place during what you were doing, just like, oh, well
I forgot to tell you this.
Yeah.
I was saying, as in, that could be the DLC. It's like, oh, I forgot about this story.
Yeah, I just worried that's what it's going to be. It's like, during
Christ.
This, because the game skips like 3 years at a time in a couple places. Yeah. So it's like, I'm worried it's going to be like, oh, this DLC deals with what happened after you escaped from this place and before all this went down. I'm like, that's not going to be entertaining to me.
Hey, here's the story of Anders' cat. Puss in Boots. This is how he became Puss in Boots.
Yeah. Right.
Look at this. We even got Antonio Banderas to voice him.
But they got the fat Puss in Boots.
Be very afraid from Puss in Boots.
So, anyway, that's Dragon Age 2. So, man, what have you been playing this week?
Well, this other than Homefront or Homefuck, I've been playing lately, this fairy game. And I don't know why. It's very weird.
First of all, I gotta ask you, how did you gift that to Carrie?
I gifted it because...
No, I said how?
I didn't gift the game.
Oh, you gifted...
I just ended up buying a 1600 point card and
okay.
Sending her the code.
Gotcha.
Because there's no other way.
I seen that and I was like, how the hell did he gift things? So I was like trying to figure it out.
I was just like, oh, who gives a shit?
Now I know
blah,
you can...
Blah, blah, blah.
I know you can now buy game codes and stuff from GameStop, but I was like, there's...
I bought it through Amazon.
You bought it through Amazon?
Because they took it down for a little while, and I don't know if they run out of codes or whatever, but then they brought back that part.
Yeah.
You still can't buy games as far as I know.
Right, I noticed that because I was trying to buy points for Laura, and I went to GameStop because I could see that GameStop was selling the codes and stuff, but they don't sell points online.
Yeah. I would never buy anything from GameStop because they charge tax, and they can kiss my ass for that. Well, that is bullshit. Fuck them.
We've had this argument.
I'm not paying tax.
We've had this argument before because everything charges me tax, so it doesn't matter to me where I get it. Plus,
do you get charged tax for digital points and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. Not on Xbox Live anymore. They used to do that on Xbox Live, but they've quit doing that on Live. But Amazon charges me
tax.
In store. Yeah, of course it's your
job. Yeah, like if you go to Target and buy a 1,600 point
card. I think they do.
Fucking, I'm glad I don't live in Kentucky. you backwater freaks.
Kentucky and Evansville, or Indiana, nuts. Both.
You don't have to worry about the Final Four or anything anymore, right? Didn't they get kicked out?
No, they're still in, the son of a bitch.
Oh, shit. Well, who cares? Nobody wants them to win.
I don't want them to win, and I live in Kentucky.
Everyone's rooting for the underdogs.
I forgot who the other one is.
Butler and who knows? Nobody else who listens to this cares about it except me.
Yeah, them motherfuckers are still in it. So
there's this fairy game.
Yeah, fairy. I know Laura wanted this game too.
Fairy Legends of Avalon.
So I played the demo and I was like, I don't like this.
It has surprised me in more ways than one. I did not. At first, I thought it was like an action game, not a turn-based RPG.
Oh, it actually becomes a turn-based RPG?
Yeah, that's how you fight.
See, I didn't even get that far. Flying around.
You run into an enemy, and then it's like, oh, here, offensive attacks, defensive, blah, blah, blah. It's just you're very traditional. You know, nothing special about that. But I don't know why I keep playing it. I honestly don't. I mean, visually, it looks surprisingly nice, especially at specific times. There's some nice design choices, but the controls, I actually think they work well for the most part, but at times they get really just crazy and the camera just goes bonkers. But I don't know, maybe you get rewarded a lot. Like, I love leveling up. I love all those kind of systems.
Right.
And it's pretty quick. You pretty much, after, I don't know, maybe four battles on average, you're going to end up leveling up because the enemies get stronger. So they give you the same amount of experience or more. So, and I don't know. I mean, the writing is horrible. It could be good if you're a fan of fairies. I mean, Kiri could love it. It to me, from an outsider's point of view, it seems like fanfic. That's exactly what it all seems like. And it obviously has to be a foreign developer because there are some horrible grammatical errors, and it's just like not something that could be like, oh, that's easily mistaken. That's like, no, you spelled no. You spelled no, which was supposed to be N-O, as K-N-O-W. That's not even close. It's like, oh my god.
That's pretty bad, dude.
And it's annoying that there's no voice work. That they move around, you see their mouth moving, but it's just text. And it's all fanfic text, as far as I can tell. But I keep playing it, and I have no idea why. I've gotten to this area with some very angry mermaids, and I feel like I'm eventually going to have to bust a cap in their ass.
Do mermaids have asses?
I don't know. And there's this one character, Grimm, who has one of his special magic abilities is to, like, all his special abilities are, like, calling in animals or bugs or something. And he calls, one of them is to call in a raccoon. And I love it because all the raccoon does is, like, he just runs in and out. He just does it like he's running around a track. And that's all he does. He doesn't attack them. He just runs through them. And it hurts whoever it is. And even if you're on, like, if you're fighting an enemy in the air, like I was fighting wasps, I think.
Uh-huh.
And he just came running right in on nothing. He's like floating. A magical raccoon comes running on air. I don't know.
Well, I mean,
there's something just stupidly charming about it.
It's a fairy, so, you know, it's possible.
And apparently everything can fly if it's in your party. Otherwise, it can only stand.
Weird.
I like the visual style, though. I'm very surprised by that. Like, in some of it, sometimes it sort of looks like a Xenoclash.
Uh-huh.
Sort of that kind of crazy, out there style.
Right.
So, I don't know. I wouldn't have paid $15 for it, but for $7.50, it's not that bad.
So it's only half off, so it's still $7.50, huh?
Yeah.
So what, 600 points, right?
Yep. 600 points.
So you would recommend it for 600 points? Or
you probably still want to try the demo, because I know there are people who are so cheap that, you know, they never want to spend anything. But I look at these things and say, there aren't many opportunities to get an arcade game on sale. It's not like a retail copy that'll go on sale every month or this or that, or eventually get a full price cut.
Right.
So take it while you can.
All right.
I'm a collector, man. I'll probably, man, by the end of this year, there's no question I'll be over 300 arcade games.
Jeez. That's nuts.
I also started playing Marvel vs. Capcom 3 again.
Oh, yeah?
And I think I've sort of gotten into it for good because I recently found out about the event system, which is basically like, oh, here's a challenge, you can complete it. And I don't think any of them are time-based, as in, oh, this is only available for a week or this or that.
Event system? I don't recall this.
It's part of the Xbox Live aspect of the game, but part of them are, you know, single player. Like, I've only done one, and it was to get through all of the stages in arcade mode except for the final battle and to beat them all with a limited health bar. So I don't know if it was somewhere between 75% and 50% gone. So, and then as you do that, you get a little whatever. I don't know.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
I don't know what you get, but you get a cleared event. So that was kind of fun. And they seem to be adding like new ones every week or so.
So it's kind of like what they did with Halo Reach.
Yeah. Which I like that. It's like, oh, I can come back and play this game, you know, a few hours every week or this or that. I'll get something new all the time for free, which I like that.
Right.
And I'm starting to find a good balance of team. I don't even remember. I think it was Dr. Doom, Iron Man. And I love MODOK because he seems so overpowered. I don't know if he actually is, but when I use him, he seems to just destroy guys.
That's good. I'm glad you're enjoying that game.
Yeah, and then the only other game I've really been playing is Tornado Outbreak.
I have been tempted to pick that up because I hear it's like Katamari.
It's exactly like Katamari. It's exactly like it. And I've only played a little bit, and I don't want to like just say that, oh, it's only this, because it has been consistently adding some new elements that make it more and more complicated and interesting, and I'm really liking it. I'm very surprised by it.
Where did you get this? How much did you pay for it?
I got it from Half Price Bookstore, because they were running their usual, like, I don't know, biannual sale of, oh, 40% off, then 30%, then 20%, then 50% off.
Right.
So I got it for $6.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that wasn't my best deal. I got Super Street Fighter 4 for $4.
Oh, sweet, dude. That's awesome. We should definitely play some of that.
So, but Tornado Outbreak is a lot of fun. I definitely recommend it if you're a fan of Katamari. It's definitely got that vibe.
Yeah.
And it seems to be easier. I mean, you're not going to be running into... It might get more difficult later on, but you're not going to be running into issues where it's like, where can I find these pieces? This world's too big. I'm running into things that I can't pick up.
Right. Huh. Yeah, that sounds interesting. Definitely, I heard some good things about that game when it was released, and I knew it's like $20, but you sound to find it a lot cheaper than that, so...
Yeah. I can always send it to you. You can try it out.
I'm still looking for Katamari Forever on PC.
I have that. I can send that to you. You can try that out too. I need to set up a Google Docs with my entire game collection and then add you to it.
Yeah.
And then you can just be like, oh, I'd like to rent this for nothing.
Now, did you play Bulletstorm yet? I can't remember.
No, I only play the demo.
Do you want me to send you that?
I'm eventually going to buy that one. So that's
because
I like the demo.
I thought about sending you Dead Space 2, but I'm sure you would eventually buy that as well.
Probably. Yeah. I was hoping that, I forgot who it was. That Arizona was going to surprise whoever they were playing, because then they were going to like cut it 60% off at the EA store.
Oh.
But they lost by 2 points. Son of a bitch.
So that's all you've been playing then?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, dude,
I've been touching some iPhone games here and there, but nothing that I can remember. And I haven't gotten on the whole Swords and Sorcery bandwagon.
Oh, man, why not?
I don't know. I've wanted to play the game. I thought it was
beautiful. What is it, $5 too much for you?
No, it's not $5 being too much. It's that right now I was really slammed with midterms and shit, and I knew I wouldn't have time to play it. So I look at it and say, it could drop in price, but I wouldn't have a problem paying $5 for it. But as I cannot play it right now,
right,
I'm not in any hurry to spend $5 on it.
Just in the off chance that it gets cheaper in a week or so or two or something.
And I found out, because I don't follow that many people, and either also the people who I do follow don't care about tweeting a bunch of bullshit, I didn't get all this crap. I was like, what is everyone talking about? All these tweets about the game. I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about the game, and I'm like, I know it's supposed to be coming to iPhone as well. I don't know why it's taking longer to bring it out to iPhone than iPad.
I heard it's supposed to be coming out maybe in a few days or so.
Yeah, which I look at it, and I'm like, I'm getting so sick of the, oh, let's make a game look like it's retro and 8-bit and Atari graphics. And I'm like, I'm getting tired of that shit.
That's so pretty.
It's not really pretty. It's ugly. That was...
You're ugly.
I know, but don't bring it up.
So is Halo. You're all ugly.
What the fuck, man? Insult me all you want. Don't insult my dog. He could hear you. You could hurt his feelings. He's still young and impressionable.
No, he's not that young. He's like 21.
He is 21, you're correct.
See?
2 or 3 years.
Give him some alcohol.
2 years, he'll be older than me.
Yeah, then he'll be bossing you around.
He looked at me like, yeah, just remember that, bitch. That's it for you then? Except for you.
Yep.
Alright. I have been playing a shit ton of stuff. But the main thing I want to talk about, I guess, is, I picked up a 3DS.
Yes. And nobody else did.
That was so weird. I like walk into Walmart. I was planning on going to Kmart and get it because, Kmart had the special where if you buy the 3DS, you get a game, one of the 3DS games for $25 off. So it'd be like essentially buying a 3DS and getting a game for $15. But I was kind of worried that I would have to wait in line that morning to get one, and I didn't want to get up. Because my sleep schedule is this, about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, I go to bed, and then I sleep through till work. Me getting up to do the show today is a speciality, because I knew that we had to get it done. But it would just throw off my whole sleeping schedule. I had to get up at like 7, 8 in the morning, and then go out and wait in line for an hour. Because I really expected there to be a line. Yeah. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to run over here to Walmart and see if there's a line. And I got there about 11:50. I walk up there and I see the guy unloading some boxes. And I'm like, are you guys selling the 3DS tonight at midnight? He goes, sure are. I go, so is there a line somewhere? He goes, nope. I'm like, what do you mean there's no line? He goes, you're the only one that's even asked about it. I'm like, huh.
Mm-hmm. So apparently they shipped a lot of them.
Yeah.
Like I've heard, like 1.4 million.
Yeah, I hear it's also the most successful handheld launch ever, is what Nintendo's saying. Yeah. Which, again, the reason
I could see that because all the other ones were never. I don't ever remember them having this many shipped.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's why Kinect sold so well. I think is because they had enough of them to ship and they didn't sell out. And I think that's why this thing probably has came close to selling out. Maybe. Not everywhere, but they sold enough of them that since they shipped so many of them that they got them.
They definitely haven't sold out anywhere, as far as I know, because I looked on Best Buy and they were in stock at every single Best Buy I looked at in both colors. I could go to a Best Buy right now, walk in, and get a 3DS if I wanted to.
I was going to say, maybe in big cities, but you live in Chicago, so.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, maybe they didn't. They claim it's the best handheld launch ever, but then again, like you said, too, it could.
Yeah, but who knows how many that is.
Right.
Because I don't remember, like, I'm not sure that the DS sold that well initially, because I think people were a little hesitant. I mean, that was when Nintendo was sort of on their failing end and were, like, trying to find some. When, like, oh, we got the GameCube, now this DS thing.
So, the 3DS, I got the blue one, the turquoise one, which I like it. It's really shiny. I did a video for the unboxing.
Nice vent, man. That is a good looking vent.
You like the vent there? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was the most amazing thing in the video. Wow, I could see my vent in here. I really like the feel of the system, dude. I know you said you thought it looked ugly and stuff, but,
I've only seen pictures, so.
Yeah, it doesn't look as ugly as you made it sound to me when you get out of the box.
Were at Walmart, did they have any kind of playable?
No, they did not have a kiosk that I seen. They might have, but I didn't pay any attention, and I don't think they do.
I don't know. I wonder if maybe, like, Toys R Us would have them.
I have picked up a few games for it that are 3DS specific. I picked up the Rayman game and then the Tom Clancy Ghost Recon Shadow Wars.
That game sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, if you're a fan of Advance Wars, you would like Shadow Wars. I don't think it's as good as Advance Wars is, and I haven't gotten very far in it, but it's really cool, dude. The 3D, it doesn't look great graphically. It looks like here's a Nintendo DS game, or a regular DS game, and we're gonna make it a 3D game. I almost feel like that's what they did.
Probably.
And they figured, oh, we'll bring this out on DS, and they heard about the 3DS, and they're like, wait, this wouldn't be hard to make the streetlight stand out and the character stand out and put it out on the 3DS, and we'll probably sell a bunch of them because it's one of the only things going to be released. But it's fun, and it plays really well, and then Rayman 3D is a remake, not a remake. It's basically the Dreamcast version of Rayman 2, which people are like, ugh, Rayman 2 again. But they put it all in 3D, and you know what? Looks really good in 3D. Everything stands out. I mean, the hype about how the way things look on the 3DS, it looks just as good as people talked about it at E3. I mean, it really does look like you're looking into a box and you can see everything in 3D. And the coolest parts are there sections in Rayman where you are sliding down a tube and you're moving left or right. That stuff looks really good in 3D.
I bet you love sliding down a tube.
bow chicka wow wow. But you know, it's not the greatest game ever. Rayman 2 is never that great, considering it's how many years old it is. But it makes me really excited to see what Nintendo themselves can do with their own system.
You know what they can do? Mario 64. That's what they can do with it.
Well, they're making out a new Mario game.
I know.
And I'm more excited about that. I'm tired of playing Mario 64. It's over,
you
dude.
Play Ocarina.
You know what? I may actually pick that up, because they actually aren't just, like, porting it. They're actually doing stuff to it, so.
If I had a 3DS, I wouldn't mind picking that up, since I've never played it. And I can't get... I tried playing it on the Nintendo 64, and I was like, no. I'm not doing this.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to work on it. Supposedly, the system's real powerful, but the games I've played, you can't really tell yet. You know, but that makes sense, because it's all games that just came out, you know, and new technology. But yeah. Apparently...
I'll end up buying a 3DS... when a new Animal Crossing comes out, or Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
That's my bag, bitch.
That's your bag, bitch. Or a price drop.
No, I'll spend $250
for
those games.
You'd spend $250 on it? Yeah, cool.
I love Animal Crossing.
I do think they did some weird things. There's a few slight problems with Rayman, and I think it's just because, you know, they didn't spend very much time working on this, more than likely. But there's a little bit of ghosting, where if you're looking at a certain angle, sometimes you can see a ghost of Rayman when he's moving around. So it's like they didn't get all the 3D correct or something. Or if you just, I don't know, you got to have it held at a certain distance away from you to get all the effect. But sometimes there's a little ghosting. And occasionally it'll fuck with your head because I don't know how it does it, but because of the polygons and the way they're set up, you can get into certain positions where one of your eyes is seeing a wall and the other one's not seeing it. And so you're like, whoa. Yeah. It like fucks with your, it fucks up your head, and you're like, I don't understand what it's doing. But a wall will get between you and the character, and it's just like, the wall's in 3D, but you can still see part of your character. It's weird.
Has the 3D been giving you headaches at all?
It did that first night, but I think it's because I already had a sinus headache, and I played Rayman the other night for about 45 minutes, and I didn't have a headache after.
That's my biggest worry with the system. I'm prone to headaches and migraines, and I've never...
Do you get headaches when 3D, you go to 3D movies?
Yes, when I watch 3D movies, I always come back with a headache.
Even Tangled? Because Tangled didn't give me a headache.
I didn't see Tangled in 3D.
Oh.
Honestly, not to be up this movie's ass, because I'm not the biggest fan of it. When I saw the re-release of Avatar in 3D, that was probably my best experience with 3D as far as headaches go. I didn't have that much of a problem. And it's a long-ass movie, so whatever that was.
And
I don't know.
And this thing's got the slider where you can slide it up and down to adjust the 3D, because I like to play it with 3D all the way up, but some people can't do that. Yeah. And that didn't seem to bother me too much. But you can, like I said, you can also turn the 3D off.
Yeah.
And that's what's so good about this thing, is because it is supposed to be about as powerful as a Wii, so it's going to be nice to see games that look good on this handheld.
They'll look like they're in HD because the screen is so small.
Right. You know, and...
I actually want to play the Street Fighter game on there.
I hear so many good things about it, but I just don't want to play Super Street Fighter on a handheld.
No, what I saw was the whole being able to map like certain moves to the fucking
touchscreen. Yeah.
Which was like, oh, this is a fantastic idea. Why has no one ever thought of this before?
But some people think that's cheating.
Don't. Who cares?
One of my biggest surprises about 3DS is when I popped in some of my older games. The fact is that they actually allow you to use the analog pad to play DS games. I mean,
and I think I remember seeing you tweet that it isn't as bad as people have been saying visually.
No, I don't see what people are. I mean, they're making really a big deal about a light situation. I mean, to me, sometimes the colors look a little washed out on some games, like Dragon Quest IX. I mean, it looks a little washed out, and sometimes the text can be hard to read if it's white on background. But to me, I don't see what the big deal is. If you don't have your DS, if you don't want to, I don't see the reason of keeping a DS if you've got a 3DS, because it's not that bad. And I've played a couple games now. I played Dragon Quest IX, and I also picked up Okami Den this week.
I saw that.
And you know, I don't think they look that bad at all on the 3DS. What is weird, though, is the top screen is bigger than the bottom screen. So when you play a regular DS game, it doesn't, like, make the top screen take up the whole thing. It does have a black bars down the side of the screen.
Sides.
So, you know, because a lot of those games, you remember, they...
It's like watching a standard def DVD in a widescreen TV.
Right.
Without the ability to say, hey, I want you to stretch this.
Right. Which is cool, because a lot of those DS games, they, when they did the bottom and top screen, they always had stuff that would overlap them, you know, or like you'd be fighting Bowser and he'd be on both screens at the same time. So it wouldn't make any sense to not do that. So I'm glad to see that they did that. Now when you use the analog pad on the old DS games, of course it doesn't give you analog control. But
yeah.
It's just something easier. A lot of the games like Okami didn't really I really enjoy using the analog pad for those. Even though it's not technically doing analog control, it still works good enough where it feels like analog control for the most part. So,
have you messed with the AR?
I messed with the, I did the little games where you put the little thing on the card, or the card down.
And I saw the card thing on the latest Engadget show, and that kind of looked amazing.
It looks
more so than any AR I've seen before.
It looks really cool because, you know, it bubble, like I set it on my desk and, you know, my desk is bubbling up on the screen, you know, and monsters are erupting from it. And, you know, it does the whole thing where it's like, you got to shoot these targets, and it's like, you shoot a couple targets and like, well, where's the last target? And they're like, look in the hole. And you're like, look in the hole. Cause, you know, you got this hole in your desk and you just like take the DS over top of the hole and you're looking down and there's the target.
Yeah.
It just looks really
weird. Those things still freak me out though. I'm still not used to them. Like, the whole gyroscope in the iPhone 4, the iPod Touch 4th generation. It's like, okay, if you want to look right, you have to actually move right your entire body. I'm like, this is wrong. I don't like this. Stop making me do this. I feel uncomfortable.
It was really funny when I was showing it to people at work at the end of our shift, and I'm sitting in our break room, and I showed them Face Raiders. That game makes people laugh like anything. Nobody's business, man. Seriously. Like, you like take a picture of somebody's face and it just like makes this little monster out of their head. And then all of a sudden you're playing it and you're standing in the middle of the room and you're spinning around in circles shooting in the room and it's putting holes in the wall when you miss and everything. And it looks really cool. I mean, it's goofy and, you know, an hour of playing that, you're gonna be like, I'm never touching that again. But it's always that thing that you can pull your system out and say, hey, check this shit out. And you know, it's also fun taking pictures of just like random stuff like Halo and getting his mouth and eyes lined up, and then he's flying around, his head's flying around, and you're shooting his head, and he'll laugh at you, and his mouth will open up, and it looks like he's actually opening his mouth.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It comes with 6 AR cards, but one of them's only the game, and I'm still trying to figure out, they showed a video where they had their avatar, or their me walking around on their desk and stuff, and I still ain't figuring out how to unlock that. But, cause the other cards are like just characters from like different video games, or from different Nintendo games, like there's Mario and Link, and all it does is you put that card down, it makes a 3D image of them on your desk, and then you can take pictures of it in 3D.
Yeah, so you just, you know, put that card on your penis, and you're like, oh look, Mario's on my penis. He's riding my penis.
Yeah. The only one I've messed with is Link, and it's Toon Link from Wind Waker, so. But,
you should be able to take Mario and Link and have them fight.
That would be cool, but I don't think you can put 2 pictures down at the same time.
No, I think it probably just confuses itself and like, what's going on?
Yeah. But I mean, it's cool when you lay that card on the desk and you can take a picture of it from any angle and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, it's neat. It's definitely something to be like, yeah, whatever, a year from now. But the system has so much potential and I'm excited to see what they can do with it. So, talked about Shadow Wars, talked about Rayman, and talked about the 3DS. Okami Den. I'm really enjoying this game so far.
Wait, one last question about the 3DS.
Sure.
Battery life.
It's low.
How low can it go?
I don't know. I haven't been out anywhere and I've used it, so it's kind of hard for me to say because I just come home and plug it back in. So, I mean, it's not like to me, I don't understand why people, if it's 5 hours or 3 hours, how often do you play a game like that for 3 hours? Like, at least not, I guess I don't because I have a car and stuff, so I can't like, I don't get on a train and play. But if you're on a train playing, surely you're not going to be driving somewhere going for 3 hours without a plug in or anything. So.
I think it would be more of an issue for kids.
Yeah. Now.
Who have it at school or recess and then they're like sitting there at home care. I don't even know what it's called, like after school.
Yeah, but you could have your power adapter with you too.
I don't know. Some of these schools would be like, you ain't plugging shit in our walls.
But, I mean, I don't think the power is an issue considering that, you know, the DS, you didn't have to charge that thing up very often, but this thing you may have to charge up, but.
It's an issue in 6 months to a year when the battery becomes half as good.
Right.
And you can only get an hour and a half out of it.
But then, at least that's the thing about the 3DS is that you can go buy a new battery for it.
Which will cost $2,000.
No, they're not that expensive, but. And it supposedly holds up to 500 charges that you can use it, and they said about the time that it starts to wear down, it'll be like 70% of the battery life. So it could be an issue, but I'm hoping that maybe they release some kind of firmware update that does some issues with the battery, because I know the PSP did that. PSP used to have really bad battery life, but even through firmware updates.
It still has horrible battery
life.
Yeah,
but still through...
That was its, like, Achilles heel.
Yeah. But, I mean, think about it like this. The iPhone, when you play other games, certain games, it drains the battery really fast, too, so...
Yeah. Actually, the Achilles heel of the PSP was the fact that you can update or do shit, even if it's plugged in, if the battery's low.
Right.
I hated that so much.
Yeah. So... And the 3DS also, I don't know why they did this. It just seems weird. It comes with a charging dock. Plus, it comes with a charging cable. I don't know why you needed the charging dock to me. It seems like, hey, we want to charge $250 for this, and we got to throw a bunch of useless shit in here. Because, yeah, it's nice to set on a charging dock, but it doesn't matter, because you've got the cable does just as well. So it's weird. I don't understand the whole charge. I guess maybe when Netflix comes out, it'll be nice, because you got the little dock that you can watch movies on Netflix, but...
Who wants to watch Netflix on their 3DS?
Right. I mean, I've got Netflix on my iPhone.
Unless you were able to watch movies in 3D.
Which, I doubt it. Because, I mean, I don't think this is the kind of 3D that they would be using for movies.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But, it looks good, it's 3D, it's neat, I'm not disappointed. Friend codes still work the same, but there's one universal friend code for all games, or basically, it's your system has its own friend code. And I have a couple of friends now that, you know, Chad Conselmo from Retro Force Go, my friend on 3DS,
Awesome. That podcast doesn't exist anymore, right?
No, but they do a new one with called The Best Podcast Ever every once in a while with everybody but Topher.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you should look it up. It's Colette.
I should. I love that. I love Retro
Force. Colette, film. Chad, and what's her name? The little Chinese girl, Asian girl. I can't think of her name.
That's good enough. Little Asian girl.
Little Asian girl.
It's really just Asian girl, because what Asian girl isn't little?
I don't know, man. That's a good point.
I was talking to my friend on Facebook, and I was mentioning the fact that one of her photos had like 57 comments on it. And I'm like, you know what? 57 comments? That's more inches than you are tall.
You're mean. You're a dick.
No, that's just the truth.
Well, that's almost... Wait a second, that's 5'8", or 5'9".
No, it's not.
Wait, 57 comments? 48 inches is 4 feet? Oh, 4'7". 4'8", yeah. I was like, it's almost as tall as me.
What are you talking about, man? That's like as tall as me, Jesus Christ.
Math is hard. No. So, Okami Den. It's a fun little game, if you like the original. It almost feels a lot like Zelda, the two Zelda games that came out on DS, because there are sections where you have a little... You're playing as the dog, of course. But you're playing as her child. I can't remember if it's a male or female. I think the dog's actually a male in this one. And you get...
Well, yeah, I don't know. You get... The dog in the original was a female.
Yeah. You get companions in this one that ride on your back. And so when they can jump off your back, and you can, like, bring this the celestial brush out, and you can draw a line to where you want them to go. So that's how you solve a lot of puzzles and stuff in the game. Combat feels about the same as it did in Okami. You know, you're going to a little area, you gotta kill two or three demons, and then you get graded on that, and you leave. You know, it looks like a DS game, of course, cause it's on the DS, so it doesn't look as good as
it... Cause it is a DS game.
But, it's fun. I recommend it if you like Okami. I haven't gotten very far in it. I think I'm like 2 hours into it, but, it's definitely piqued my interest a little bit, and I've seen that, Tim Schafer put on his Twitter feed the other day that he said he was playing Okami Den, and it made him wish that his train ride was longer, so I guess he was really digging it as well. Halo, what are you doing? I'm recording the show. You need to go in there. And then I've been playing some Crysis 2. That game's really fun. But...
I've heard some good things. Did you play the multiplayer demos at all?
No, I did not.
I'm just wondering, okay, have you played the multiplayer?
I have played a few games of the multiplayer.
How does it differ graphically between the two? Because I found the demo to be pretty ugly.
The definitely is a step down in graphics, I think, between the multiplayer and single player.
Because I've heard from some people, I think it was Jeff Kanata, bringing back that old man.
Mm-hmm.
He's not that old, whatever. But I'm pretty sure he said that it was the best looking console game he's seen.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if it's the best. I don't think it's the best console game I've ever seen, but I think it does look really good. The problem is that there's a few issues with frame rate, And also, just some kind of textures and stuff, especially in darker areas, it looks kind of funky on the Xbox. Like, when you're in the dark, it just doesn't, I don't know, you can see a lot of the, pixels or something. I don't know. It looks kind of strange in the dark. But, the biggest problem I have with Crysis 2 is that the game makes me feel like I'm playing it wrong. Because they want you to sneak around.
Because you are.
They want you to sneak around and be in the, and hide and take people out. But I always feel like I'm doing okay, and then all of a sudden I get spotted, and then I've got to fight everybody in a wave, and they're not that hard to kill that way either. But it's just like, I feel like I'm playing it wrong because I feel like they want me to be stealthy, and when I fail.
No, you just can be stealthy.
Yeah, I know, but when I fail.
It's an option.
When I fail at being stealthy, you know, I feel like I've disappointed myself in the game. Plus the areas, man, are just huge. It's not like an open world game or nothing, but it's like you walk into the set piece and it's huge and it's spread out everywhere and there's like tunnels that you can go into to sneak up behind people. But it annoys me because I'm like, am I missing something? Cause I'm like always trying to look for the emails or the laptops that are laying around and stuff like that. And I'm just like, I feel like I'm going to miss something because it's so huge, but then you'll get attacked. And you're like, oh shit, I gotta kill all these things. And then you move forward and you're like, oh wait, I forgot to do something. And then you want to go back and look and you're just like, ah, it's too much work to go back that far. But it looks really good and it's a lot of fun. And, I love kicking cars, you know, just powering up your kick and kicking a car. But maybe I like it so much because I never played Crysis 1. And I hear people were talking about how Crysis 1 was such, they had more power ups and stuff like that. But the game they said wasn't as fun.
Well, there are people who like that more because it was more open.
Mm-hmm.
It was much more of a, you know, similar to like Far Cry or something like that. It was just like, oh, you can run into random groups of enemies and go crazy.
And the sound.
You could go and pick up a giant crab or whatever and throw it. Like, oh, I just threw a crab. That was amazing. Oh, look at this. I got a tortoise. Let me throw this tortoise.
Yeah, you can pick up a lot of shit in this game and throw it. Some of it doesn't do anything, but it's still, you can pick it up and throw it. I did notice that there were some issues.
Trust me, picking up a tortoise and throwing it is a lot of fun. I've played it.
In real life.
In both.
The sound is a little weird at places. It sounds like, I don't know, like sometimes it sounds really good and then other times it feels really grainy, like they recorded it at the back of a truck that was going down a highway or something. But I don't know if that's just issues.
Or they sound like us.
Yeah, they sound like us basically. You know, it's a fun little game, and I'm enjoying it, and I hear it's like 12 hours long or something, which is amazing for a first-person shooter this day and age.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of stuff going on in the game that I really enjoy. I like the whole alien invasion of New York thing, and you can actually get vehicles. I did not realize that you could drive in this game. So, I was shocked to find that out. But then again, I didn't know anything about this game before it came out, so, what was you saying?
What kind of vehicles?
Assault vehicles. Like, there was like a truck with a Humvee with the gunner on the back. So you could drive that. So
I like Hummers.
I bet you do. Especially in the back of movie theaters.
Yeah, especially while I'm watching Sky High. So yeah, I get high when I'm watching Sky High in a Hummer.
So, yeah, so you got any, you think you'll pick up Crysis 2 eventually or? You interested
probably.
In it?
Probably. I'll pick up anything when it gets down in price. I mean, I bought Kinect Adventures and I don't own Kinect.
Why would you buy
$7?
Kinect? Why would you buy? I don't care if it's $7. Why would you buy that when you don't have a Kinect and it comes with Kinect?
Because when I get a Kinect, it's going to be the point when they don't have anything with it.
Oh, that'll never happen.
That'll happen eventually.
I bet dollars to donuts that doesn't happen.
Then I will never own a Kinect, and I will always own Kinect Adventures, and I'll be like, hey, see this? I got this game. I don't have a Kinect, so fuck you. I'm cooler than you.
I have a downloaded version of Kinect Adventures because of the beta. So.
And you've never played it.
Nope. Not since the beta ended. So.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I picked up Lego Star Wars Star Wars 3, The Clone
Number
Wars.
3, The Clone Wars.
You know, I just...
Do you watch the TV show?
No, I've never watched it.
I've heard good things.
I like the Lego games. There's something that you can just play that's kind of mindless. This one, though, kind of annoys me because there are so many fucking enemies on the screen at times. And that's one thing I don't like about Star Wars games is that they have so many enemies that shoot. And you've got short-range weapons, so you get into a bunch of enemies and you can't tell where the bullets are coming from.
And you have to do an action like an open a door, yeah. Which you have to hold down a button, and then you're like, I can't do anything. I need to put all these pieces together to put a freaking staircase together so I can get up to you guys, but you keep shooting me.
And what makes it worse, the enemies keep respawning. Yeah. So you'll kill a whole bunch of enemies, and then like you'll like, oh, wait, I can close these doors. So you'll close one of the doors, and you'll kill all the enemies, close the other door, kill all the enemies, go do what you need to do, and then about the time that you get it done, also you see the doors open up again, hear all the enemies fucking come in again. You're like, you motherfuckers. So, and then, you know, your whole score based system is based on how many of the, what are those things called? Studs you pick up? Oh yeah. Kush knows all about picking up studs.
Uh huh. Especially since I shaved and have a lovely mustache.
So, you know, you pick up these studs, and when you die, they just explode out of you and go everywhere. And, you have to go pick them all up again, and that gets really annoying when you're, getting shot at constantly, and you're dying, like, over and over again, because you're trying to do something, and then you're trying to get all your studs back, and then it's nuts. I don't like it as much as I did the other Lego games. Yeah. Like, Lego Harry Potter is amazing. If you like Larry Potter.
I forgot that even came out. I forgot that one existed. That's the only one I don't have. Well, other than this one.
But you're not a big Harry Potter fan, are you?
I really like the movies. Oh, do you? I've seen all of them except for the last one.
Well, then I definitely would recommend Lego Harry Potter, because it's fun, and it's more puzzly, where you're solving more puzzles than you're doing anything, and to me, that's more fun than fighting the stuff. But this one, man, I think the battle's just, like, huge and epic, and it's... I really want to get into it, but the more I play it, the more aggravated I get with certain aspects. It's so hard to get the true Jedi rating on every level of this game, because you're dying so often.
Where's Lego Twilight?
Nobody wants that.
That would be amazing. Yeah, it could be amazing in Lego form with the humor.
Well, maybe Lego Beastly, too. Did you see that Beastly game for the Wii? Based on that movie?
There's a Beastly game that is on anything?
Yes, there's a Wii Beastly game, and they had videos up of it, and it looks so terrible.
I don't even know what that would be.
I don't know. It looks like you're walking around in a school talking to people. It almost looks like an RPG type of game.
It's like Persona. It's perfect game. I'm going to buy it right now.
I think it's only $20.
I'm sold.
But I don't think it's exactly the quality of Persona. It's supposed to be really bad. We should look up the Metacritic on that.
That's disappointing. I like Beauty and the Beast. It's a good movie. The original I'm talking about, Disney.
Yeah, the original.
I'm not talking about Beastly.
The original on Disney. And the last game I'll talk about is I played that Island of Wakfu that came out on Xbox Live Arcade last night.
What is that?
So basically it looks like, they call it, it's a doofus style of game, or doofus. Which I don't even know what that means. I guess it's the art style. It's made by one of those like MMO companies or whatever that you always see ads for on websites where it's like, come play this MMO. And you know.
Did you download Free Realms?
Yes, I did.
I did. I haven't played it yet though.
I downloaded it and installed it last night. I tried it out a little bit and I'm like, I quit playing. I tell you what made me quit playing that. I went to, they said, you can buy a pet. And I'm like, oh, I'll go buy a pet. So I go look at the pets and it's like $2.25 to buy a pet. And I'm like, what? And then I got to looking, like, everything in that game costs like money. And it's not like, oh, 50 cents or a dollar. It's like $2, $3, a house.
That's how it works.
$7.50. I'm like, fuck you. This is a money making scheme.
You'd figure they might give you just like, oh, here's a tryout pet. Here's a very cheap, it's ugly. You're probably going to hate it, but it's free, just so you can see what it's like to have a pet. Here's what it's like to have a house.
Every pet is like, you can buy it or you can rent one for like an hour or something, and it shows you, it's free to rent it, but you only get it for an hour or something or 30 minutes to see what it's like to have a pet. But I was like, fuck you.
That seems so weird.
And there was no pugs. Had there been a pugs, the game would have had me.
Yeah, that's pissing me off about Xbox Live. There are puppies, but no kittens.
There's not kittens? Assholes. I swear there's cats.
No. There's like a cat, but there's specifically like a puppies, like three or four puppies that they recently added.
Dogs
but there's
are
no
superior
kittens.
To cats.
Dogs
See,
suck.
See, look, they could mocap the dogs, all right? The cats, they refuse to be mocapped, so that was the issue.
Dogs should be exterminated from this planet.
Don't make me hurt you. Not here, not now.
Pugs first. And all ones with names beginning with the letter H and ending with O. And AL in the middle.
I hate you so much. I quit the show.
Yeah, okay. Sure you do.
But Islands of Wakfu is, it's got a really unique art style. I really like that. And I played it for a little bit and I was like, I'm going to buy this. I bought it, went back to play it, and I'm like, this is boring as fuck. I expected there to be something more to it. I was like, I want to fight enemies, because you got to fight. You fight by, you know, hitting X, Y, you punch and kick and stuff. But I'm like, I want to fight, and it's like, go do this task. And I'm like, okay. And then you go there, it's like, hit these buttons in this combination to make music. And I'm like, but I want to beat something up. And it's like,
What kind of game is this? I don't understand.
It's over the head. It's like overtop RPG, kind of. It's weird. It's so hard to explain.
Like Baldur's Gate and Champions of Norrath?
No, not even that.
I don't understand.
I'm trying to think. I can't think of a game that is as simplistic as this game is. But you can also turn into a dragon by hitting the Y button.
So it's like Arcadian Warriors.
I don't know, because I haven't gotten any dungeons or anything where you fight anything. It's just punching and kicking. But I haven't, like I said, I haven't played it enough to know, but it's kind of boring. Try the demo. It looks beautiful. The art style is really unique for that.
Your description has bored the hell out of me.
I'm sorry.
I don't want to play this game.
So anyway, that's all I've got to talk about game-wise.
Fun times.
Fun times. I'm probably going to try to interview Will and put it at the end of the show.
Like, what the hell? I'm like, interview Will? What game is that? I've never heard of that.
I'm probably going to interview Will and we can put it at the end of the show. I wanted to get that
Sounds good.
I don't know if that'll happen, but we'll see if he has time for an interview for his video game art. Did you hear that they canceled the Mega Man universe today?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that's all.
But I was never really interested.
They haven't really announced why they've canceled it. A lot of people.
Because nobody wanted it.
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that Kenji Inafune. How the fuck do you say that name?
I think he had it right.
Inafune.
Like third or fourth time.
He left Capcom and he was the one that was doing the game, so basically the head of their company, the head of the making this game left, and so they just kind of canned it. So, I thought that was kind of shocking that, you know, they've had so much hype going into that game, you know, with the whole, oh, you can play as the Mega Man 1 box art Mega Man. And.
Wow. I've been waiting my whole life to do that.
I've been waiting so long.
You should never sing. You're not a talented singer.
Well, you should belt one out. Come on.
Maybe.
Belt out your favorite Tangled song.
No.
No?
Maybe in a future episode. I still have that in my back pocket. With all my little voices, I can pull out a very male, feminine sounding guy and sing, oh, a whole new world.
Yeah, you promised me that.
I would freak you guys out.
You pulled that back.
I said maybe.
Maybe.
I didn't say, I promise I will be doing this on the next episode. I got it in my back pocket.
But. So, you got anything you want to bring up?
I want to go back to the whole PlayStation Plus, because you were all, when I first joined in the first episode, you're all like, oh, that sounds so good. They got all these amazing sales. They're always giving you away free shit.
Yeah.
They're not always giving you away free shit. It was like 2 weeks ago or whatever, what they gave out was like a free PlayStation Mini and nothing else.
There's some good stuff that came out for on deals and stuff yesterday, though, wasn't there?
I don't know if anything came out yesterday, but, like, it's an okay deal. You can get Swarm for $3 off. Yippee.
I played the demo for that. Did you play the demo for that?
No.
I didn't like
I didn't know what it was, and then I saw it was $15, and I'm like, what's the point of playing the demo? I'm not going to buy it.
Oh, and that Russian Attack game is pretty bad.
I don't like Russian Attack in general, so...
It tries to be Russian Attack, but it also tries to be Shadow Complex, but, like, not as good. Like, you have a map, and that's about all it has in common with Shadow Complex.
That's not the game you want to try and be a Shadow Complex or any of that kind of Metroidvania crap. It doesn't work with that game.
Yeah. I really want another Shadow Complex. I really do.
I just want anything that's Metroidvania-esque. I really wanted the Castlevania Harmony of Dissonance or whatever.
I liked that game, but it wasn't Metroidvania.
But it wasn't that. It was just, oh, here, beat this in this time frame. It's not a Metroidvania game. It's just a, I don't know what you exactly want to call it.
Yeah, it was, that was weird.
It's like Metroid Horde-ania.
That's a good way to put it, I guess.
I don't know.
But, yeah, that Russian attack game wasn't very good at all.
No.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, I think that about does it.
Tangled is awesome.
Dude, movie's so badass. I picked up my Blu-ray copy. I haven't watched it yet on Blu-ray, but,
It's amazing, because I got it for $22 on Amazon, and then whatever, I guess there was some coupon going around or something, so I got a $5 refund. So it was like $17 or whatever.
I bought it for $20 at Walmart.
It's awesome. And I have a 3D copy I'll never use.
Oh, it come with a 3D copy?
Yeah. Four discs, 3D copy, regular Blu-ray, DVD, and then the digital copy.
So wait, it comes with the 3D copy, the digital copy, okay. See, mine was only $20, and I didn't get the special edition, though. I just got the DVD Blu-ray copy, and basically we're giving Laura the DVD copy.
I was disappointed by the lack of special features. I wanted more.
Well, they gotta keep something back before it goes into the vault.
I hate the Disney vault so much. That is the stupidest thing in the existence.
It makes you want to break into the Disney vault, doesn't it?
No, it makes you want to break into Disney headquarters, put bombs on all their supporting beams, and then blow it up when I'm 200 feet out of harm's way.
Well, what's in the Disney vault that you want so bad? Or is the fact that the Disney vault even
exists?
It's
just the idea of the vault. It's the concept of the vault. Here, we have these fantastic movies, so buy them now, or else we're going to put them in some fictitious vault so you can never have a copy ever again unless you go on eBay and buy it for $60 or this or that. Because we'd rather people make money off of our stupidity than make money ourselves.
And it's like this game, this is going into the vault for 10 years, and you're like, well, 10 years is an awful long time. Could you imagine?
Before it got its 3D re-release in theaters, I think the Nightmare Before Christmas was in the fucking vault for a long ass time.
But could you imagine being like 15 and they're like, Tangled's going into the vault for 10 years, and you're like, I really like Tangled, and you're like, what do? I could have a kid in 10 years, but I'm 15 now. I don't know if I'll have a child. I don't want to be a teen mom. So, you know.
What does that have to do with anything? What does a child have to do with it?
Well, because, you know, some people may want that for their kids. They don't watch Disney movies.
They don't want it for themselves?
No, of course not.
Why not? Tangled's a fucking amazing movie.
Oh, I agree, but I'm just saying some people might be like, they may want it when they're, you know, everybody's always buying Disney movies for people's children, you know.
Well, no one should ever buy a movie for someone's children. Buy it for yourself. I proudly sat in the theater of 90% teen girls and then the rest adults with children, and I was proud. I love that movie so much.
I do.
I've watched it twice already, and I think it might actually be my favorite movie of last year. And I can't even explain why it just gives me such a great feeling watching that movie. I don't know if it's the return to Disney form that, I mean, it's quickly becoming one of my favorite animated films.
What's really funny is my friend Will, his art and stuff, he's always doing art of like two different characters facing off because they have similar powers or something, or there's like Darth Vader versus aliens because, you know, they're both evil or something like that. But I told him he should do a piece of art of Rapunzel from Tangled fighting Bayonetta.
That would be interesting.
He said, well, maybe we could do something where their hair is all tangled up together and they're trying to get it untangled, but... And it,
well, you have to remember that he's got to keep her covered.
He's got to keep...
Bayonetta.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want all that hair being in the fight.
No, I know.
That's going to be a bit too much for his audience.
Yeah, she's definitely got some 70s bush going on.
Yeah, some Alaskan bush.
Is that a Sarah Palin joke?
Yeah.
Maybe I guys remember when everybody made fun of me when I said I thought Bayonetta looked like Sarah Palin, and then when the game came out, everybody was saying the same thing. So I feel vindicated.
I hate Sarah Palin so
vindicated.
Much.
Vindicated. Anyway, yeah, but I told him he really needs to make a Tangled versus Rapunzel versus Bayonetta art. That would sell like hotcakes to me.
So you'd buy it with selling him some hotcakes? You're like, I will bake you some hotcakes in exchange for it. A print of your Tangled and Bayonetta mashup.
Exactly. Hotcakes. Anyway, this show is really off the rails. This is what happens when we do a show on Thursdays.
Yeah. We're like, oh, we're not that prepared, but we want to get a show in. And then we have technical issues that just kind of take out all our enthusiasm. We're like, oh, son of a bitch.
For those of you that don't know, probably will never get, you'll never understand, because I'm sure we're not going to add all that stuff into the end of the episode, because...
No, because that means you have to upload all the files.
Yeah. So basically what happened was, we started the show, my internet's died, I had voice issues on my microphone, it was all a fucking mess. So, between this and dogs that are having attacks and...
Yeah.
I think we're going
to
end
this. Did you actually listen to the last episode?
Yes, we did. We sat here and listened to it.
And what'd you think?
It was good.
All the editing.
Editing and stuff at the end, the insult ninjas.
I love that part. That is the perfect segue sound for us.
That was good.
So I guess we'll end with voicemail.
Oh, yeah, the voicemail. I almost forgot.
And before that, I just want to say that The West Wing is an awesome show. I love that show. You should all watch it. Even if you're not it's not even political. I don't like it political. I don't like politics.
Nah.
But I love the show. You should watch it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like Charlie Sheen's dad. He's like the worst part of Mass Effect 2. Which I also bought the DLC that came out yesterday for that, but I haven't played it.
I'm annoyed that there's even DLC. I was so ready to be done with that game. I came back and played it with all the DLC after waiting, and bet they can go to hell.
It's only $7. Although I hear it's only like an hour long, too. That's what I'm getting really annoyed about, the DLC. They're bringing out all this DLC, and you think you want to play it, but then it's like an hour long, and it's like $10. And it's like, okay, I've just played a 12-hour game I paid $60 for, and now you're selling me a $10 for the DLC for an extra hour? That just seems wrong. Anyway, I digress. Voicemail.
So we have one, and this one's awesome, because it's from one of my fellow iPad line waiters. So,
is it
it's not Alex Albrecht.
Oh, okay.
Number two.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Lucas out here in River Grove, Illinois, and I'm a new listener to the show. I was actually one of the people in line for the iPad 2, and I was second in line next to the lookalike Alex Albrecht. But Kush recommended me the podcast, so I wanted to just give a shout-out to him. I really enjoy the show so far. I really thought Kush was going to start talking about the... when we were in line, and he wanted to punch everyone in the face, which is,
I'm pausing it because this is what happens when you wait, you do a show every 2 weeks. I completely forgot about how much I wanted to punch everyone in the face. I seriously was on the verge of punching. I mean, there was a little girl who came up and was asking us stuff, and I'm like, you get away, you go back in the line, or I will punch you in the face.
Why was the little girl asking you questions?
I don't know. There's just a lot of annoying people. There was like this... I'm going to call him a Polack because he probably was a Polack because this is Chicago. He had a European accent, so he could have been, I don't know, Russian or German. But I'm pretty sure he was a Polack.
But he was like standing in line. And you're allowed to say that because you're a Polack yourself.
Yeah. He was standing in line. Like, he was just standing right in front of us at the front of the line, and he was like talking, and he's like, oh, this is bullshit, blah, 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 blah. That's not how Polak sounded at all.
Did he yell out at any point and say, this is my cousin Roman?
No. He's a big American titties. But then he was like, oh, I think he made a joke about, coming in line with us.
He came in line? That's pretty gross, dude.
Yeah, he came in line all over our faces. That was very offensive to the religious Alex Albrecht. But anyways, I really wanted to punch all these people in the face because they were driving me nuts. That was basically at a certain point, everyone was just saying, oh, you're going to punch that person in the face, aren't you? They're like, come on, if you're going to punch him in the face, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to punch someone in the face. I would have totally punched someone in the face. Anyone, even the little girl. I wouldn't have punched her father, who she was there with.
How old was this little girl?
I don't know. I think she was probably like 10 or something.
And I don't know why she's coming up. I still don't know why she's come up and asking you questions.
I don't know. She was asking us like how long we've been waiting.
Oh, okay. Which she asked her.
Which was really weird because the Alex Albrecht lookalike was mentioning something about like he was just saying something like, if somebody comes up and asks us how long we've been waiting, we should just say we've been here for like 18 hours or blah, 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 or whatever. Then she comes up exactly and says, how long have you been up here waiting? We're just like, we couldn't even think of anything to say at that point because we're just like, how the hell does this happen at this point? Exactly at this point. And then I think we were just honest. And then when she left, she was like, hey, you wanted to punch her in the face, didn't you?
Okay. Gotcha.
So I'm going to continue the rest of this voicemail.
blame them. You know, you had a couple people trying to cut in line. I think I had one chick who mentioned that, oh, is this the back of the line? And we're like, no, you know, like, what are you talking about? And a couple jerks, you know, that type of thing. I think the other thing, too, is when, you know, some of the Best Buy associates were trying to sell, like, their, you know, their buyback programs or warranties and whatnot. And
those are bullshit. I hate all that crap. And it's funny that my iPad was probably the only one that was defective out of the package because I was the one vocally in line just saying, don't try to sell me shit. I will, no.
I will punch you in the
face. I don't want any of your warranty. I'm going to punch you in the face if you try to sell me a warranty. Get away from me. Don't try to sell me these stupid cases. I don't want them. I will punch you in the face. I'm going to punch everyone in the face. Continue.
You can just tell Kush wanted to just punch everyone in the face until he got his iPad too. But anyway, I got a kick out of that. But I just had a question about the iPad, too. I just want to know if you downloaded the GarageBand app.
Yes, I did.
You know, I know it's a dumbed-down version. It's my first time with a GarageBand, and, you know, I'm looking forward to kind of learning more about it. And, you know, maybe it'll just, you know, evidently make me want to get a MacBook Pro and use the real deal. So I just want to get your thoughts. But appreciate it. I love the show, and take care. Bye.
There you go. That was a message from somebody who I've actually met in person.
Whoa.
Which is, that's kind of awesome, since everyone I know in person hates anything having to do with technology, unless they're Asian and then they play a DS. But,
oh man, here's some breaking news. The GoDaddy CEO is in trouble because he took vacation videos of killing an elephant.
You're bringing the entire show down. I can't even answer this question now because you're like, oh, the elephant murder.
Well, look, I think people should know that GoDaddy kills elephants.
iPad 2, GarageBand. I have downloaded it, and it is pretty good. But I will say that GarageBand is definitely something you should never look at as a sole reason to get a Mac or anything like that. It's a good program, and on the iPad, it's pretty decent. I've been messing around with it. I plan to upload some demos with the software that I've done, but I want to wait and get some more time with it, but it's good, but I would never... It's not something that's as amazing as some people might think. There are plenty of good pieces of software on PCs and stuff. So it's never the whole sole reason to get a Mac or jump in the boat, which I think is what he asked, but I completely lost track after you mentioned, oh, murderous elephants. We're murdering elephants. Hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your elephants. They'd be raping.
They're raping everybody. That's what I want. I want somebody to auto-tune our show.
I can do that.
And make it a song. anyway. Thanks for the voicemail. Yeah. What was the dude's name? Did he give a name?
Lucas.
Lucas.
I'm pretty sure.
That's right, from some city.
Very awesome. River Grove?
River Grove.
I think, maybe.
I don't know. What it was.
I'm still all these elephants.
You know what? They shoot elephants in River Grove, too.
But it's awesome. He was a very cool guy. When we all went in, like me, him and Alex Albrecht, because that's what I'm always called that guy. We were the first three in line, and we all just rushed right to the bathroom. That was the first thing we did. We were like, we have to piss. And then we got out, and we were just kind of wandering around for a bit, and we're like, where is everyone? And then he started playing Madden against some guy, and we were just like, nobody's in here. And then we found out that there was another line, but nobody directed us to that line, so we ended up in the back of the line to actually get the iPad.
Oh, no.
But it was okay because we got tickets for the specific. You get a ticket for the iPad 2 that you will get the exact model, color, and all that stuff. So it didn't matter. It just mattered that we wouldn't be able to get out as quick.
So it didn't matter what order in line you'd have been. You still got the one with the broken.
Yeah, right. It matters what order you're in the initial line outside.
Yeah.
But when you get indoors, it just matters as to when you will be checking out.
You know what happened then, right? They heard you say you threatened to punch somebody in the face.
They're like, yo, I'm going to punch all you fuckers in the face.
So they broke your camera.
I was even bitching in the line, and the one guy who was standing like by the back of the lines, you know, Apple, they have these specific rules. We have to do it their way or we're not getting the iPad 2s. He seemed pretty frustrated after hearing me complain. I'm like, I don't want to deal with this shit. I don't want to do this. I just want to get in and get out. He's like, Apple has these rules. We have to have the fucking kiosk of accessories here in line with you guys so you'll look at it and buy it. I'm like, whatever, man. Calm down.
And now we know a little bit more about Apple's world, and we're sadder for it.
Yeah, stupid.
Well,
and I should, before we get onto our plug-in, we didn't do it last week, and I almost forgot again. If you want to leave a voicemail, you should probably get the number, right? So you can dial 312-772-5874.
Wow, that almost sounded professional.
Yeah, like, I was like, oh my God, am I going to forget this again? Because that means he went to the, he must have gotten it off the site or seen it in the fucking iTunes feed. Because I did not mention it when he sent in that voicemail.
Oh, awesome. And thank you for the voicemail, Lucas.
Yes, Lucas. You're one of the few people in that experience who I didn't want to punch in the face at any point.
What about Alex Albrecht? Did you want to punch him in the face?
No, I never wanted to punch him in the face.
Yeah, because them Mormons, they know some kind of kung fu.
We were the three wise men.
Everybody else is like, we don't know what it's like to stand in a line anymore.
Yeah, and it's always funny. You see the cars drive by and they're just looking at us. Like, what's going on?
Well, come on.
And there was one lady who was like, what are you doing? We just said, like, oh, we're waiting. We want some money or we got this or that. And she's like, huh? Why are you really there? She's like, and then she just, like, eventually just, like, oh, waved her hand. Like, I'll forget you people.
I still. Like,
who doesn't know?
When I think of waiting in line, I still think of that podcast with the PS3 story. Waiting in line for the PS3 and opening night. That is the funniest line story, and every time I go stay into the line, I hope that whole situation recaps itself. It's somewhere I'm near. Do you remember what I'm talking
about? Maybe. I don't know. Which one?
There was an old podcast. They didn't have very many episodes, but it was there. They stood in line the night that the PS3 released, and all the shit that went down, the list. Do you remember the list?
Oh, yeah. Now I vaguely remember everything.
List? What's a list? Who's got a list? Nobody's got a list. What's a list?
Yeah.
And women coming up to you and trying to get your spot in line by giving you head. Yes. All that shit happened in this line. And there was the guy that pulled up in a car and was dancing while the car played music, and then his car died on him because he left all the lights on and played music.
Now I'm trying to remember what fucking podcast this
was. I can't remember. It was like, they didn't, there, I don't even.
Because I know everything that you're talking about.
It was a podcast like, not a famous podcast or anything. It was just something that I happened across one time. I think it was Twitch Arcade or it was something Twitch.
I don't know. But I've heard this exact same thing.
Yeah, but it was a funny story. So anyway, apparently we should have led with all this shit because this was a much better show than the first half.
Yeah, whatever. Let's plug and get out of here before we end up going back down in a train wreck.
All right. What you want to plug?
PixelatedSausage.com. PixelatedRadio.com, Twitter.com/Kush3. We're also on Facebook, Pixelated Sausage. That's it. You just go on Facebook and search it or do the whole slashy crap.
And I want to plug Twitter.com/HendersonMan. That's my Twitter feed. And go try 3DS and see what you think about it. I don't know where you can go do this at. I think.
I'm sure there's probably going to be them at fucking Best Buy. They have so many freaking kiosks.
Yeah, I imagine they'll be out pretty everywhere pretty soon, but.
And Toys R Us is probably.
I think Toys R Us is doing it, but. And they've got a good deal going on. Well, this won't be up till that probably Monday. So I was going to say, they got a good deal on Toys R Us right now. If you buy one game, you get another one half off. So you can get two DS games, 3DS games for $60. But, if you can even find two games that you want.
Street Fighter 4. No, you don't want that. Pilot Wings. I don't know if you want that. Seal Diver. No, you definitely don't want that.
I don't understand why people want that. That's like Jeff Kanata's like.
I think that's sort of like a gimmicky thing. That's like, oh, this is kind of. This shows off 3D crap or something.
I'm pretty sure Jeff Kanata was all excited about Steel Diver on one of the episodes of Weekend Confirmed. And I'm like, I don't understand why it's a sub game. That seems so boring to me. I guess because the whole moving the. I don't know.
Yeah.
I hate sub games. Anyway.
Well, see, it's not like there are that many.
Anyway, that's going to be it for the show. Hopefully there's an interview with Will playing at the end of this. If not, I'm sorry I failed at my mission. So, but
yeah.
Anyway, guys, have a good week, 2 weeks, and we'll see you when we get back.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, this is Henderson Man here at the Evansville convention, anime convention called EvilCon. And I'm here with my good friend Will, who I've known since about, what, 1993, too?
92.
He's an artist extraordinaire, and he does a lot of video game art, and that's kind of why I want to get him on the show. So, Will, say hello.
Hello.
listeners of Pixelated. What's the name of your show again?
Pixelated Radio.
Oh, right, right. So I'm a big fan of the show I've never heard of.
You listen.
Once.
Once. Whatever. Will, how long have you been doing art?
I've been doing art since I was 13 years old. I am now a whopping 34 years old. And I've been doing it professionally for about 3 years now.
So you claim this is actually professional. You are a professional artist because you this is what you do for a living.
Correct. This is my full-time job.
So I was surprised today when you told me that you were doing art like 16 hours a day sometimes when you get in that mood and everything else.
Yeah.
Now, you went an interesting route to get to this career path because before you did this, it wasn't exactly a career, but it was a damn hobby that you used to do. What was that hobby?
I don't know how I'm supposed to answer that. Like, do you mean, like, what did I do before that, or the, what kind of things did I draw?
Well, I wasn't talking about the drawing. I was talking about the backyard wrestling. Or, I'm sorry, outside independence.
I was a professional wrestler for, let's see, 98 to 2003. And I did do some old backyard wrestling, but I was also a professional wrestler. I was actually a one-time NWA tag team champion at one point. So.
Yeah, that's funny to say that, isn't it?
It is funny to say that.
And he also tells you if you want to be an artist, one of the most important things to be is strong.
That's right.
Why is that, Will?
You gotta call me out on this. Okay, well, after my long stint as a professional wrestler, I became an artist full time, and once I started doing the art thing, I was on a convention run, and I think I was in Ohio, and my art bag, which is quite heavy, I was rolling it up some stairs, and I threw out my back, and I herniated 3 discs, and I just recently had to have surgery to replace one of them, and they had to remove a portion of my spine in the process, so...
So he used to let people jump off of high school gymnasium bleachers, or balconies,
yeah.
Onto him. That didn't hurt him. He draw some pictures.
Broken
bam,
back.
Broken back. So,
thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, it's cool. It's funny. No, not really. It's terrible, but. So what is your favorite piece that you sell? I mean, that you do your prints of and everything.
It's got to be the one I'm most famous for. Obviously, the Death Star reflections. The Darth Vader memorial. To those of you who might be more familiar with it out there. So, yeah, it's the piece I put the most heart into, and it's also the piece that's got me pretty much made my career for me. So, and then second to that one had to be the Super Mario Brothers Another Castle piece.
Right, that piece is very depressing, and you have a story with that too. I thought was funny, the human centipede dude.
Okay, yeah, I was at a convention in Atlanta, Georgia, and this Japanese fellow was came to my table, and he was kind of really looking at that poster, and he was kind of holding his heart and kind of shaking his head, and I finally got to talk to him, and it turns out he was he's the Japanese guy from the movie Human Centipede. If you haven't not seen it or heard of it, you can kind of figure it out from the title kind of where it's going to go, but it's a very disturbing film. But this guy it was just completely moved by this picture. He ended up buying it, and he was talking about how important it was. And he's from Japan. He talked about Nintendo and how important Nintendo was, and he bought the picture, and I saw him saunter over a little bit later. He had the picture with him, and he came back, and he had this look in his eyes, like this just like depressed look, and he was like, he has asked me in very, very broken English if he could exchange the poster for something else, because it was too sad to look at. It was making him too sad, and it just kind of took me back for a minute. I had to do a double take and be like, dude, you're the guy from Human Centipede, and you're bothered by my Mario Brothers picture? And then he just tells me, he's like, I'm a very sensitive guy, and I'm very upset by this, and I can't look at it anymore. I need something else. This makes me too sad. So...
That's
dude
great.
Who had a girl's head up his butt in a movie was too sad to look at my picture. So I consider that a moral victory.
That's awesome. And you've been doing the convention run for 3 years now?
3 years, yeah.
Yeah. This is your second trip back to Evansville for this convention. What is your favorite convention that you go to, that you've been to so far, and which ones are you looking forward to?
That's putting me on the spot. Well, obviously, EvoCon is up high because I get to spend time with you, right? I mean,
right.
That obviously.
Obviously.
Obviously. But no, seriously, it is. You know, this con's actually really grown, so it's really fun to be here and see how much larger it's gotten, and I hope it just continues to grow. I like Wizard World Chicago. It's a big comic book convention. I don't do a lot of comic book conventions anymore, but I've been going to that one for years and years and years, and it's big and it's fun, and I meet a lot of people there. Looking forward to the most, I'm doing Anime Expo in Los Angeles this year.
And you're really excited about that
one. I'm very excited and very nervous. It's the biggest anime con in the country, and I don't know. I'm a nervous wreck about it, but I'm looking forward to it at the same time.
Now, and also, you said that you'd like doing the anime conventions, and you kind of don't like to do the comic conventions as much, because you said that there's a lot of competition. It seems like a lot more competition.
The atmosphere is completely, completely different. Comic book conventions, for the most part, are set up similar to like a large flea market. It's everybody's got a table, and everybody's trying to peddle their wares for, you know, and trying to get as much money as they can. And it gets kind of competitive, especially in bigger arenas where there's a lot of artists. An anime convention is just on the opposite side of the spectrum. It's more of a community feeling. Like, it's not just a bunch of tables set up to sell stuff. It's a 24-hour event most of the time, and everyone is very friendly, and all the artists are friendly to one another, and I've made a lot of friends at these shows, and it's just so much more laid back and fun, and everyone's a lot nicer. And the comic book conventions had a lot more of the weird creeper kind of, you know, neckbeard kind of guys that want weird pictures of girls that are underage doing stuff with, you know, farm animals and stuff like that. Now, you know, I don't like drawing that stuff too often.
So you also do sketches commission, and stuff like that. What is the weirdest thing that you've ever had? Yeah. Well, you don't have to tell that story, but what is one of the weirdest things that you've seen? Like this con, I thought it was weird that somebody wanted a turtle doing a picture inside their shell.
Yeah, that's pretty tame. I don't even blink at that one.
But, I mean, what are some of the other weird things that you've had that people are just like, you're like, why would I ever draw that?
I don't know if I can narrow that down, other than the Burgess Meredith piece of lore. There's a lot of I get a lot of requests for pairings of you know, same sex couples, which is not a big deal, but a lot of people want it really, really explicit. And I don't know if you're familiar with the term furries. Are you familiar with furries?
Oh, yes, I'm a very I'm not a furry.
I don't know about that, but anyway. Yeah, there's something called yiffing. I don't know if you're familiar
with
this
term.
I wasn't familiar with the term either, but I am now.
Unfortunately.
I was at a convention and someone asked me if I draw yiff, and my answer to anybody asks me, will I draw, my answer is automatically yes, I'll draw anything, I don't care. But this girl, actually an attractive young lady, asked me if I would draw yiff, and I was like, sure, what is it? And then she explained to me that it is a hardcore act of furries having sex.
Okay.
So... And then they go into very explicit detail about how certain appendages look on these characters, and it gets a little uncomfortable. But at the end of the day, it's my job, and
did you do this?
I did. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I will not turn a drawing down. I in fact, that's a challenge I have out there. If anybody thinks they can make me turn down a drawing, bring it on. I'll give you a free poster if I turn something down.
So you got to tell the Burgess Meredith story because nobody knows it.
Okay, I was at a convention, and I was asked to draw a sketch of Burgess Meredith. From those of you who might not know Burgess Meredith, he played the Riddler. Was it the Riddler or
Joker.
The Penguin?
He was
the
Joker.
Joker. The Joker, that's right, in the original Batman TV series. He was the old man in Grumpier Old Men.
And Jack Lemmon's dad has been
right.
pointed out.
And I was asked to draw him in the act of an orgy being watched by, I believe it was, 7 naked nuns. And That one stuck with me. That one stuck with me a little bit. But you know, I charged. I told the guy I was going to charge him quite a bit for it. So he didn't end up taking me up on it. But maybe he'll pop up one day and he'll go through with it, and then I'll have a truly scarred story from my career tale.
So you've met a lot of celebrities doing this too, because you're and you hung out with Edward James Olmos is one of your
EJO. I'm not going to name drop, but you know, it's, you know, me and him go way back. Not really, but yeah. Edward James Olmos, very cool guy. Sam Witwer, who he was Vader's apprentice in the
Force Unleashed team. Uh-huh. And Force Unleashed.
And now he's on a TV show called Being Human on
And wasn't he also in Smallville as
He's
the,
Doomsday in Smallville. Doomsday, he was crashed down on Battlestar Galactica.
I've never watched BSG.
Shame on you.
I have it on Netflix, but I have not watched it.
Also, Michael Rosenbaum.
Who was also on Smallville
Lex Luthor.
And don't forget the movie where he dressed up as a, he was a cross-dresser,
right.
too, that we can't think of the name of right
now. I don't know it, to be honest with you.
And he's also from Newburgh, right down the road from here.
I did not know that.
Yes. Actually.
That's cool. But, yeah, Adam West, Danny Trejo, Marina Sirtis for all you nerds out there. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty long list, but, you know, it's...
And you've also dabbled in photography
I
as
do.
Well?
Uh-huh. I have a partnership in a celebrity con photography business, and that's how I get to meet all these people.
That's awesome. So, well, Will, I want to thank you for your time. I think a lot of people are interested. Do you have any what you want to plug? Do you have a? I know you got a DeviantArt page.
I do have a DeviantArt. You can check out Will-Woods. It's Will with one L, WIL-WOODS.deviantart.com. And, yeah, check me out on there, and love me or hate me, I don't know. Just say something, let me know you're looking. So.
All right, and you also have an Etsy page. Is it Etsy?
It is Etsy. E-T-S-Y.
I think it's Musetap.
Musetap. Yeah, my art studio, Musetap. M-U-S-E-T-A-P.
Oh, and one last thing we'll get to is your girlfriend also does the art with
yes,
you?
Yes, she does. She's an amazing artist, actually.
Awesome. So, yeah, you...
You can see a link to her page on my DeviantArt, so please check her out. She's an incredible artist.
Yeah, I didn't want to not talk about her in there.
She does a lot of video game stuff, too, like Sephiroth and Vincent Valentine and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, they do a lot of good video game art. If you're looking for good video game art for your walls and stuff, I definitely recommend checking them out, especially when it comes to a convention, because he's got books, art books out here where you can buy any of his prints for like $10, or, you know, he's got package deals with them and stuff. Awesome dude. Thanks, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right.